Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to our June 28th AEN Candidacy Preparation Training Meeting. We appreciate you taking out the time and being obedient to that which has been asked of you to do. We do want to remind you to keep your phone on mute if you are not engaging with the rest of with the session, if you're not making a question or bringing your presentation, because we do hear background noises and that can be rather confusing. So we do ask that everyone keep your phones on mute unless you are preparing to engage in interaction and dialogue. We want to get the men of God on the line ready to open us up in prayer. We do want to make sure that you have your questions ready. We're going to be calling on individuals to assess where we are as we go forward into July, which is our last 4 months of training. And so please have your questions in mind. If you're asked, we ask that you share honestly with us where you are in your process. We have some deadlines that are fast approaching where information is required, and you know who you are, you know where you are in your program, and we need you to translate that and communicate that with us so that as we go forth, your training is customized to you. We're entering a time of our consecration, and during that time, there's always been a need for all other paperwork to have been completed and turned in so that your focus is on consecrating yourself, your mind, your body, and your spirit, and in preparation of this awesome elevation that is coming in your life, a life-changing event. And so we don't want to start that process with you in a place that is not given 100% to consecration. So we're going to ask that you, just as we open in prayer and as we get started with our presentations for this evening, that you earnestly search within you and be prepared to communicate with us where you are in this process. All right? So we are going to ask that the men of God that's on the line, you can just step up, step on, unmute your phone, as I'm unmuting them as well, and open us up in prayer.
Mr. Pastor Melvin, I'll pray.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we just magnify your name. Father, we uplift your name. Father, we just give you praise right now. Father, we give you thanks, Father, as you have blessed us to come together again, Father. Father, we just ask that every word that is spoken, O Heavenly Father, that it is planted, Father, in our spirit, man, and produces a great harvest. Father, Holy Spirit, we ask you to have your way as we go through this ordination season, this ordination process. We ask that you just continue to lead us and guide us as we go into this period of consecration, that you just guide us and keep us and just fill us with your spirit and be magnified in us. Father, we just thank you and praise your name, just allowing us, Father, to hear you in this season and through this process, Father. Father, we ask that your word goes forth this evening in the mighty name of Jesus and just avails much to us, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we say thank you and amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. So we will start with our presentations for this evening. If our presenters are on the line and ready, we do want to remind you, Elder Deborah, are you available? Or Prophet? So we want to just share some of the instructions as it relates to our presentation, and that is we would like for the accountability partner to introduce to the session your candidate with some information about their ministry bio, just some information about them, and then what your topic is and the scripture for the topic. And then the accountability partner will then bring us their presentation. So we do want to start today with today is the 28th, with wise counsel. Wise counsel, the scriptural element of accountability partner being wise counsel. And why is that necessary for the framework of accountability to function as God would have it function, according to his definition of accountability? That should be brought to us by Brother Antonio Miles, and introduction being made by his partner, Elder Edward Parker. And we want to make sure that the next team, Emerging Elder Kamisha Berry and her partner, Elder Roberta McIntyre, are prepared. So do we have Brother Antonio Miles? And yes, and Elder Parker.
Amen.
Yes, Brother Miles.
I'm Brother Miles' accountability partner.
Okay, that's Bond, Pastor Bond.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Any of the
yes,
three
ma'am.
Of you?
Okay.
Let's
well, Brother Antonio Miles, exceptional man of God, family man, man after God's own heart. It has been a honor to be able to be his accountability partner. He's a man of prayer, a man of integrity, a man that loves God, loves his family. And since we became accountability partners in the time when we are connecting to do what God has called us to do, it has been a refreshing, because I can see some of the areas that he's been challenging when he's going through this process of being ordained, what God have God had willed him to be ordained to be. I have been there for him, talking with him. He also has been there for me. And this has been an awesome thing, an awesome time with the man of God. And I just count it a blessing. I have just counted a true blessing to be his accountability partner.
All right. And what area is he being ordained?
He's been ordained. He's an emerging pastor. He's been ordained as an emerging pastor. And as emerging pastor, and I just don't want to say too much, but as we've been talking, and as he's been going through this process, this is one of the things I like about him. He have a heart of a son. He have a heart of a man of God and or a woman of God to have a heart of a son. The process that they go through is so it be challenging, but that's a grace that comes upon the individual that as they merging, and I see it also in him, that he's accepting the challenge. He's accepting the maturity that God is instilling inside of him. So as he coming to become an emerging pastor, it has just been a blessing to be there, to be his accountability partner.
Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. Is Antonio?
Yes, ma'am. I'm already.
Okay.
Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord God, for your diligence concerning this matter. Father, I pray that you excuse my lips right now. May you speak and may my words be clear. And may you be heard most of all. I pray, Lord God, blessing upon each and every one listening, all those that are going through this process. May this be fruit for them and seed unto the ground, Lord God, of their hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. The scripture text comes from Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15. I'm going to read for you all's hearing from the Message Bible. Fools are headstrong and do what they like. Wise people take advice and then bring back attention. I also want to read for your hearing Proverbs chapter 12, the same chapter, verse 1. If you love learning, you love the discipline that goes with it. How short-sighted to refuse correction. In this accountability, in this time of accountability and in these two verses, God points out to me that there are four adjectives or four characteristics that we need to adhere and pay attention to. The first one being wise. The word wise means to be discreet and judicious in the use of applications of knowledge, choosing laudable ends and the best means to accomplish them. Laudable, referring to or speaking to ends that are praiseworthy. So our actions need to be praiseworthy. In order to be accountable in a manner that pleases God, what we should do absolutely must reflect God. The other word that I want to give attention to is the word prudent. Another adjective. It means to be cautious, circumspect, practically wise, careful of the consequences of enterprises, measures of actions. Cautious not to act when the end is of doubtful utility or probably impracticable. The word enterprises within that definition refers to something that we give our hands to, what we pay attention to, what we choose to do, and then there's an expectancy of it to be reviewed. The Bible says that a prudent man looketh well to his going, Proverbs chapter 14 and 8. The other two words that I want to for us to pay attention to is the word foolish. Foolish, void of understanding or sound judgment, weak in intellect, applied to general character. Another meaning of the word foolish, unwise, imprudent, acting without judgment or discretion. And the one I really like is the word ridiculous when describing the word foolish. And an example of this is David. When David was before King Saul and he had the opportunity to spear him, to retaliate on behalf of how Saul had mistreated him, he didn't act foolishly. He thought about what will my husband do to the king, the one that God has ordained. So he was prudent. He thought about his actions and what they would lead to. And then the last adjective that I want to point out is the word headstrong. I mentioned in verse, or I read for you you all in chapter 12, verse 15, fools are headstrong. The word headstrong means violent, obstinate, ungovernable, resolute to run his own way. And this accountability process, our passion, our seeking needs to be contrary or opposite to the person that's ungovernable. We can't expect anything from God if we ourselves are not willing to or unwilling to be able to hear from someone concerning not only this process, but processes in our lives. If God considers us ungovernable, we are acting just like the enemy. The Bible says that Satan is the father of every lie. So who are we being responsible to? Who are we acting like? I want to point out that each four of the words that I gave definition to are character traits. As I looked up the words, I noticed that all four of these words were identified as adjectives. An adjective describes something. For example, a young lady may be pretty, a man may be handsome, perfume may be sweet smelling. Those describe the content or the content of a person or the content of a thing. So adjectives. How does God describe us? How do we, by our actions, give a description of ourselves? The word character means the mental and moral qualities distinctive to an individual. And the other definition I want to give in regards to character, and I found it very, not strange, but it highlighted in my mind. It pointed to one's biology. A characteristic, especially one that assists in the identification of a species. Who are we being identified by? Species have a creator. The Bible says that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. If Jesus is the author and we have characteristics that show through our living, what book or who are we being recognized as being our author? So by our responses in the process and to people, who do we look the most like? Are we being favored as looking like children of God, or are we being favored as looking like children of the devil? Is Satan our follower, or is Satan the one that we're following? And is he being recognized as our follower? Because this is headstrong has a meaning, so does the word wise. If we're acting prudently, then we're looking like Christ. But if we're acting foolishly, then we're looking like the devil. So in closing, our response to accountability and my response in this process speaks to who I look like. Am I willing to hear from the person I'm supposed to be accountable to? Am I willing to seek and get counsel, as the Bible describes it, and be considered wise? Or am I acting foolishly and being headstrong, thinking I don't need to have a conversation either per week or every other week with this person? I don't need to pray. I don't need to show up on the line and attend to what's being said. So the Bible is very clear on how we should act. The question is, are we acting that way? That's all I have.
Amen. Do you have any questions or comments for Minister Antonio?
So headstrong is in the Bible?
I heard your question.
Headstrong is in the Bible?
So I read from the Message Bible. Pardon me if I didn't mention it before, but I read from the Message Bible. I like the way that it broke down the interpretation of the word for clarity's sake, making it very simple to understand that these qualities and characteristics are able to be apprehended. So that's why I read from the Message Bible. So yes, it was found there in the Message Bible in verse 15 of chapter 12 of Proverbs.
Oh, I just thought it was phenomenal. I like the term. Matter of fact, I like all the terms that was presented. I just thought it was real cool.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. And I want to stress, as you said, and even as, yes.
Oh, yes. I just wanted to make a comment. I very much enjoyed the presentation. Especially just the breaking down certain words, because I think a lot of times we approach the Bible with our head knowledge or our ideas of what some things mean, and so we kind of take it and run with it. So I always appreciate anybody that can take the time to do some research, look up some words, and I believe that we get a lot more clarity from the word when we do that. So I enjoyed it.
Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
And I pray that as these elements are being presented to you, you can see the value of them eliminating some of your stress or frustration with this process. Because Headstrong, as he mentioned, that's someone that feels they know it already and they don't need to, as he said, have this call every now and then and every week, because it's just a process, I can read and I can do it. However, counsel means there may be more to it than I know. And so that's surrendering to someone else and seeking to work together to bring about what God has in store for us. So often we have tunnel vision, and the whole point of accountability is so that you can get another perspective. Sometimes people can see what you cannot see, or they've experienced what you have not experienced. And so there is a wisdom to hearing the voice of someone else. So I appreciate that. And so we're going to move on to, and I pray that this is how you are structuring. When you get through with all of these elements of accountability, you will have built a structure for your entire ministry life. You will have built a biblical structure for your life. And if we adhere to these points that are being brought out every week, which is why we take the time to do it, then you will see it is going to build a structure, a foundation, that if you're true to it, then God can bless your process more effectively and efficiently and more powerfully, because you have surrendered to his blueprint for ministry. Amen. So we will go to our next set of presenters. Elder McIntyre will introduce us to Emerging Elder Commission. Amen.
Good evening. Yes.
Good evening.
The person I'm a accountability partner is Minister Kamisha Barrett, and it has been a pleasure being her accountability partner. She has been inspiration to me, and she's a very caring individual. She listens, and we respond to one another. She encourages me as I encourage her. She encouraged me, and as she encouraged me, I encourage her. Kamisha has had a lot of challenges during this process, but I can see what God has really brought her through and has restored her in those specific areas. He has taken her into a place where she could receive restorative care for her mind, her spirit, and caused her to belong, whereas the enemy was causing her to have a feeling of unbelonging. But God has brought her and restored her in that area. He has given her the ministry of her ministry is I Speak Life. And as God has spoken new life unto her, he has given her a ministry of I Speak Life. And that ministry is for, will be ministering to the broken woman, bringing them from brokenness to being restored, and as well as chocolate diamonds for ages 12 to 17. So I would like to introduce to you Minister Kamisha Barrett, and she will be covering Worthy from Genesis 28, 12 through 22.
Amen.
Amen. So good evening, everyone. I am Emerging Elder Kamisha Barrett. My scriptural presentation is very befitting, and it's on Worthy. And as it was stated, it's coming out of Genesis 28, verses 12 through 22. So for the sake of time, I want to give a brief synopsis, if you will. So just through this passage of scripture, we have come to understand that this scripture depicts Jacob departing with his parents to go to Paddan Aram. After his father Isaac gives him charge and blessings before sending him on his way. This passage of scripture also goes on to speak to the encounter that Jacob had with God. And Jacob, and what he did as a result of this encounter. And so, of course, with that being said, I want to speak and share Worthy from a place of how God counted you worthy for his glory. And so as we come to understand who Jacob is by character, we do understand that he is in, or was an opportunist, a co-conspirator. He was shifty. We know him to be untrustworthy, negligent in some cases, and someone who picks favorites. And honestly speaking, when we have become honest with ourselves, there are some aspects of Jacob's character that we can not only relate to, but there's also aspects of his character that require some readjustment or some even doing away with. And when you allow the Holy Spirit just to examine your heart, which is a serious place of honesty, it brings those characteristics into play for you. However, I want to speak from the place of how when we are looking at our character, how not only because of that we've been counted out by people, but we've also counted ourselves out. And I said, for those of you all who fit this script like I felt like I did, I want you to understand that the only reason that we've come to this place is because, number one, we lack understanding concerning God's grace on our lives, which also kind of clouds how we can see how God will use these things as a vehicle for him to get the glory out of our lives. So I'm going to read to you 2 Thessalonians from the Voice Version. It's 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 11 through 12. And it simply says this: all this is why we are constantly praying for you, so God will make you worthy of the great calling you have received from him and will give you the power to accomplish every good intention and work of faith. Then the great name of our Lord Jesus will be glorified through your lives, and you will be glorified in him according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, our liberating King. So Jacob's story at this juncture should remind believers that God is definitely in the business of transforming our struggles for his purposes and for our good. And so I went on to look to see how God does this. And what I came to understand is that God will meet us at our mistakes. And what I mean by that, he'll meet us at our low points, our states of confusion, when we're fresh out of schemes, lies, when we have wrestled with guilt and we can't see our future, or even at that moment where you felt like really giving up. So in other words, he meets us right where we are, at our point of need, and he also gives us our own personal encounter with himself. So Revelations 3 and 20, I'm going to continue to read from the voice version, and it says, "Now pay attention. I am standing at the door and knocking. If any of you hear my voice and open the door, then I will come in to visit with you and share a meal at your table, and you will be with me." And what I drew from this was how God gave Jacob, even in Jacob's state, he gave him a personal encounter. For some, he will encounter you by visions. Some, he will just openly speak. Here in this chapter of Genesis, he gave Jacob a dream for his encounter. And so then what happened next is God will begin to do some work in you under grace. And what this simply means is that whatever the reason that has brought you to God, it was not of your own doing, but it was by his grace and his mercy through the design of his love that drew you. And so this is so that God alone can be glorified in and through your life. And just speaking scripture in remembrance, Romans 9:11, and it just simply depicts that he chose you and you did not choose him. And God bases this totally on his grace and not at all on anything that we do. And it is at this point of need, the realization and understanding that you are nothing, absolutely nothing without him. You can't do anything without him. And with that realization, it serves as a catalytic moment where he can begin to do a work in you. So it's nothing that we can do. We cannot count ourselves worthy. He's already counted us worthy for his purpose and for his glory already. And so then now you'll notice that throughout, again, this Genesis passage of scripture, God made no mention of Jacob's issues, flaws, insecurities, no nothing. In fact, what he does is God begins to reveal himself to Jacob. He tells Jacob who he is. And then after that, he then assures Jacob about his future. And then he tells him that he will protect him wherever he goes, and then we'll bring them back to the land, the very land that Jacob laid his head on. And then he seals it with a deal of making a promise to Jacob to never leave him until everything that he has done and said, everything he has promised, has been done and completed. And so, again, going back to that space of worthiness, when we have counted ourselves out or when people have counted us out, but God has not counted us out at all. Because everything that happens in our lives, it doesn't happen by happenstance. Even when you are at your lowest point, it was simply by design. Something that was designed by God that was intentional to draw you back unto himself. Here, I just want to encourage you right now to just stop hanging out with your hang-ups, stop encouraging your issues, and starve your pride. Know that you have been chosen to carry a mantle that is placed on your life by God himself. It is not by happenstance that your time has come for us in this process to be elevated and or consecrated for a time such as this. God is not concerned about the what was, and he is not concerned about what happened, as it was all designed to get you to a place called right here. And here is where he counts you worthy in spite of yourself, in spite of those insecurities, in spite of those things that we at times will magnify in our own lives. And he did this for his glory. And so then the last thing you need to do is just simply yield. Yield to him, yield to your process, and just simply respond with the yes. And so the last scripture that I want to leave you with is Psalms 34, again, reading from the Voice. And it says, I will praise the Eternal in every moment through every situation. Whenever I speak, my words will always praise him. Everything within me wants to pay tribute to him. Whenever the poor and humble hear of his greatness, they will celebrate too. Come and lift up the Eternal One with me. Let's praise his name together. When I needed the Lord, I looked for him. I called out to him, and he heard me and responded. He came and he rescued me from everything that made me so afraid. Look to him and shine, so shame will never contort your faces. This poor soul cried, and the Eternal One heard me. He rescued me from my troubles. The messenger of the Eternal God surrounds everyone who walks with him and is always there to protect and rescue us. Taste of his goodness. See how wonderful the Eternal truly is. Anyone who puts trust in him will be blessed and comforted. Revere the Eternal, all ye his servants. And that is all I have.
Praise the Lord. Are there any questions or comments? I'm encouraged. Amen.
What a phenomenal job.
Thank you.
Of his precious
Amen.
Name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. A phenomenal job. Awesome.
Yeah. And I pray that the word the Lord used coming from Elder Tamisha will encourage you to get in line with the process. It is seemingly overwhelming, but it is not. And as she said, it's for such a time as this. God is not surprised by any of the challenges that has come up in all of our lives. He knew what was going to be. But just like he told Paul, my grace is sufficient. And his grace is sufficient for you to rest in as you continue to be obedient to the yes that you have given God. And so I do encourage you to not be discouraged, but rather to keep looking to him and his hand that has been on your life since your birth and before your birth. And I pray as you view some of your answers, as you review them, as you look at them, you can see, you know, and you focus on what you perceive your gift areas were and what the assessments have said about these gifting areas, and then the gaps and the gifts that you have, how do you see God filling them to lead you down these steps towards this path? It is important to your calling and position in God for you to understand this and to see it now, to rest on it, to use it to motivate you. This is the Lord's doing, and we are gratefully humble for it, and we are humble to serve you. So we want to ask you, where are you now? You know, do you have the ear to hear what the Spirit is saying, overruling what it appears is happening around you? I'm behind. I haven't done this. I didn't get this. I don't have all of those different things can be eliminated. They can be eliminated. All you have to do is call and speak with me as to where you are in your process. But I want everyone to be able to go forth, not trying to catch up or trying to produce something because it was asked of you, but rather to hear what the Spirit is saying and to embrace that in your heart and in your process. And so that was one of the reasons that a journal was required of you, so that you could start seeing this. So often halfway through, you realize some of the first answers you've given on some of the first questions that you were asked, say, for instance, what ministry has God called you to? Or define this calling. What is it going to look like? Who is your target ministry population? You know, where is it? Is it inside the church, outside the church? Is it outreach? Is it marketplace? Is it all of these different venues? What is it he's drawing you to? And so during this time of consecration that should begin on July 1st, however, if you have not done your questions and turned everything in, I don't want people to get behind and try to rush to do it so that they can say they're on time, but rather you be accountable to God, and that's going to be one of the elements that will come at the retreat. You be accountable to God. You make the commitment, and after you've turned in your paperwork, then you start your consecration. So are there any questions, any concerns that anybody might have? We had some questions during the week for the accountability partners. Your questions for your candidate will be due July 23rd. You will be receiving a format in the email so that you can put your questions in that format and then email them back to me. If you have already sent me your question, don't worry about it. It's fine. If you have not, I ask you to wait till you get the form that's formatted, and you'll get it by the end of next week. And that's where you are to record your questions. Your questions should not be told to the candidate. They should not be revealed to the candidate. And again, your interaction with the candidate is what should motivate the questions that you are asking them. So there are many areas that we would like to touch bases in our phone conferences. One is going to be prayer and all things prayer and preparing for the battle. And our battle is prayer in as our prayer life is dedicated to the Lord in a way like never before, in a way like never before. There are just some things that are coming up for our lives that has never been that way before. And this is the way that when you go in your yes, there are certain preparations and equipping that has to happen for you to go forth in bringing glory to God. Are there any questions that anybody on the line might have about any area of the consecration, of the things that's been asked, not the consecration, we're going to talk about that later. Elder, Dr. Parker will share very briefly with us about that. If you have received it in email, we ask that you read it over and look at it, familiarize yourself with it, so that next week, as you get started in just the introduction to it, that you can bring any questions that you have as to how it's going to flow for the next, how many days, Elder? 45 days. I think it's about 45 days. Again, this is for the candidates. The accountability partners are more than welcome to join us in this consecration. I do understand that some of you may already be doing studies as it relates to the consecration material, and we understand that, and you may do them together or not want to do the other, as long as you stay true to receiving this information that God has for you. Any questions or concerns or comments?
This is Sister Brenda. I was wondering, when we turn in our journal, are we to have two, one to leave with the portfolio or one to keep?
You will only have one. When you bring the process for your journal, will look like this. When you come to the conference and you are to check in all of your garments, and Elder Sharita will have a list and a checkoff. On that list will also be a column for your journal. When you show her your journal, you will check off. She will check off on it that you have presented it. She'll give it back to you. You are to bring it to class, but it is your journal. It is yours. So you don't have to do two journals. You will leave with the journal, but you will need the journal while you're in class. References may be made to certain things that really should be a part of the journal, or you may be asked to share the creativity of your journal. It is an informational gathering, and so there are different things that different people do that we highlight, and we actually, they become a part of the process for the coming candidacy year. And so we do ask that it's one journal. You will get credit for producing it when you turn your garments in, but it will stay in your possession.
Okay, thank you.
Absolutely, absolutely. Good questions. Anyone else?
Overseer, this is Candidate Davina Anderson. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
I have a question about the black, the white tie. Does that mean we're all wearing white, or does that mean it's just a formal event, meaning you wear it after five?
Absolutely. It's just a formal event. You can wear it in, you know, after five. Absolutely. You do not have to wear all white.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. You're very welcome. Just as an encouragement, you know, we do want you to make sure you have your friends and family invited. You guys printed out your invitations and you've given it to them, inviting them for the weekend. There will be sections where there are things that will be done that will address their spiritual growth and development, enlightenment, and information. And so we do encourage you to invite the family and get registered. Get your rooms, get your registration form, and fill it out. And remember, we have a mandatory fellowship July 29th. It's a Sunday from 3 to 5. From 3 to 5, July 29th. The location will be given to you at a later date, but just save that date. So at this time, we are going to have a few minutes with Elder Dr. Parker to present that and present it. Yes. Yes.
Hello, Overseer.
Yes.
Yes. Forgive me. This is Apostle Overton. I wanted to kind of make a little correction because the invitation for the fellowship went out. And the address is in there, and the time is 3:30 to 5:30. But
okay.
The address, along with directions, the route you can take, are included in that email. But if you all could be so kind as to RSVP, please RSVP by July the 10th, whether or not you will be bringing someone or what have you, but this is the fellowship time, and we need a count for food purposes. Sorry to kind of butt in there, but I did want to let everyone know to open up that email because that information is available to them.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Anybody else?
This is Minister Cece. I was wondering about consecration form that's due by the 30th. Does it have to be someone in clergy who does like the, I think it's the, because why, let me explain how I understand it. I understand that as the person is witnessing, then you'll be actually being robed at that time or consecrated, and yeah. they'll be helping to dress you. Would be someone else.
Yes.
Is that correct? Okay,
correct.
So with that person.
Yes.
Okay, so the person who helps dress should also be clergy as well?
Not necessarily, but they have to be approved by apostle.
Okay.
So if there's someone
right.
that wants it to serve in that capacity, you're going to have to turn that information in. If a husband and wife team are there, they will be a part of one another's process. So that's why for some people there, they may not be clergy. If the husband isn't clergy and the wife is, or the wife is, and the husband is and the wife isn't. So that is not a prerequisite. However, we do have to know in advance because teams are being built and trained to dress the candidates during the program service.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. So just text the information to me, cc_Thornton@yahoo.com. And I see our time is really closing out because there's another meeting with a lot of the individuals that are on this line. They have a meeting that starts at 8 o'clock, and we don't want them to be late for that meeting. And so the look over the consecration, you know, read it, pray about it, see where you are. First of all, finish all of your paperwork and turn it in. And then we will get to the consecration. We'll give you more details on next week. We'll make it clear. But any questions that you may have, after you've looked it over, text them, email them to me so that they can be addressed at the meeting, and we'll see the things that need to be addressed. So, again, email me whatever questions you may have once you've taken a look at the consecration. Amen? Amen. So we have one of the men of God on the line to close us out. If there be no more questions or comments.
Let's bow our heads from here.
Amen.
Eternal God, our Father, we just thank you again for the opportunity to gather. Father, we honor you because when we gather, we realize that we gather in no other name but the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for every word that was spoken. We've been with our Father. Father, I pray that you will search our hearts and that you reveal to us how we must get closer to you and increase our prayer life before you. Father, we just simply ask you to have your way with us, and we're willing to allow you to mold us as a potter will mold its clay. Father, we give you glory and honor because we're excited about what you're doing, not only in us, but even in the body of Christ collectively. And so, Father, we pray that every person is involved in the consecration process. Father, we pray that you would bless them. Draw them nigh unto you, Lord, and reveal truth to them by your Spirit. We pray that you would bless those that are behind the scenes that's getting everything ready. We pray that you would give them stamina and strength. We pray for understanding, pray for wisdom, oh God. Father, we just thank you now as we leave this conference call. Father, we pray blessings upon the people's heads. We pray the same way that the oil ran down Aaron's beard. We pray that's how the oil shall flow from us as we receive it from you. And, Father, we honor you now, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. And make your second meeting for everybody that needs to. Praise the Lord.